to every creature. Now, as we look at the Bible, sometimes it is useful for us to understand and to know that certain statements are not made in one place only, in one passage only. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 28 and read from verses 16 to 20. The Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." Turn with me also to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we will read from verse 44. Luke 24 and verse 44. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Let's also read from one other passage in which the command is clearly given by the Lord Jesus to deliver his message, the message of the gospel, to the whole world, and that is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And let's read from verse 4 to verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and beginning with verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight." The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. This is very clear, and the Bible speaks of many appearances in different places to a number of individuals, the largest appearance at a single time, over 500 brethren mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The fact that he rose from the dead confirmed that he was not just a man. Indeed, he was a man. The human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is a fact. The Bible states it very clearly in many different places. The Bible also tells us that the Lord Jesus was God in the flesh. All that he was and all that he said, that he was dying for people's sins, that his death would be an atonement for their sins, that he was dying as a substitute for sinners. All of this was confirmed by his resurrection. And all of it for the sake of a small number of people, his followers at that time. No. No. All of it for the sake of all who would believe from the very beginning before that, even to the very end. Go and preach the message of the gospel. Go and teach all nations. Now, one of the things that people say when they hear this kind of statement, well, that's unrealistic. That is too difficult. That is impossible. When the risen Lord Jesus is speaking to us, what is impossible? What is impossible when the power of God is involved? What is impossible when God says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you? When the Bible says that you will receive power from on high? In the Old Testament, it says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Psalm 116 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul the Apostle says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We believe, and therefore we speak. It is part of faith. It is part of believing in the Lord for this faith to reveal itself in various ways. Now, our faith doesn't always and at every moment shine as brightly as it should. And in many things we fall short. But if our faith is weak at times, let us not rejoice in this weakness and pretend that that's the way things should be. Our faith should be strong, and one of the things that faith does is that it speaks. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. Having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and we also speak. So if our faith is strong, then this faith should manifest itself, should express itself in various ways, including speaking, including believing what the Lord tells us when he says, I'm supposed to carry that message to others. Do I believe in that statement which the Lord made? Do I believe in that fact which is clearly biblical? Or do I believe that somehow there's a little footnote here that says that it's for somebody else to do? And that footnote doesn't come from God. I seem to believe in that footnote a lot and not other things that pertain to this matter. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 15 and 16. Risalat Korintus Tani Sah Ashra wal Adad 15-16. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. When your faith is increased, Paul says to the Corinthians, when your faith is increased, you will help me more in this task. We shall be enlarged by you. When your faith is increased, you'll have a greater burden for others. You'll have a greater understanding that it is God's clear command for you to deliver the message of the gospel to others. You'll have a greater understanding as your faith grows that you must sacrifice so that this message will go to others. You will have a greater understanding that there is an urgency involved and that the regions beyond you need to hear. We have this same spirit of faith. We believe and we speak. When your faith is increased, you will help us more in this task. The Bible speaks to us of many things that we need to do. And this is one of God's commands, very clear, very obvious, very evident. And as we think of what God commands, we need to ask ourselves, where are we with regard to this matter? Where are we with regard to this matter? The Bible tells us of the disciples saying to the Lord Jesus Christ at one point, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's one of the things that we could say. Increase our faith so that we'll understand more, that the Lord speaks to us with authority, that the Lord commands. Increase our faith so that we will understand more and more that this is what people need, that we will understand that the Lord is behind his word, that he will strengthen every hand, and that he will give power to those who follow him in this matter. Go and preach the gospel. In some sense, we could think of that as the last statements that the Lord Jesus Christ made upon this earth, his last will and testament. His last will and testament. Usually we think of a person making a will and then he dies. The Lord Jesus died for us and rose again and made these statements as his closing words to us, in terms of his time here upon the earth before his ascension. One way or the other, the last thing that you hear from a person, the last thing that you hear from a loved one, sometimes it carries with it particular importance. Sometimes people think of one who is leaving one way or the other, and they say, what is your last request? What is your last request? This commandment is Christ's word to us before his ascension. The Bible tells us that the early church, the believers, they were scattered everywhere. We looked at this just a few days ago. They went everywhere preaching the word. Those who were scattered abroad, it says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, those who were scattered abroad upon the persecution which arose about Stephen, they went as far as Phoenicia. They went as far as this area. And Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to the Jews only. Some were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. When they came to Antioch, they spoke to the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And thus began the church of Antioch, one of the important churches of those early times. And that church sent out Paul and Barnabas to deliver the message. And so it goes from one to another. We need to deliver the message of the gospel. We need to deliver the message of the gospel. What is that message? What is that message? There are some people who bear the name of Christ, but it seems like the greatest concern that they have is to build schools and hospitals. Now, schools and hospitals are good places. But the basic message of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And then it says, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. The message of the gospel is a message that has resulted where it has gone in many schools and many hospitals and many such institutions. But that is not the primary thrust. That is not the heart of the message. The message of the gospel, the message of Christ, the message of the Bible is that we are all sinners, that we are all under God's condemnation. We have all fallen short of God's standards. We cannot save ourselves in any way. No work which I can do will result in my salvation, whether it is a work that is somewhat religious in nature, like attending a church meeting, or whether it is a work that is somewhat social in nature, like being kind to my neighbors. Attending a church meeting is something that is in accordance with God's word. That's what the Bible wants us to do. Be kind to my neighbors is also very much in accordance with God's word. But God's word tells us that salvation is not something which I will receive based upon such things. These things are not sufficient for salvation. What was needed for salvation was for Christ to die upon the cross and for his blood to be shed in our place. He died. He rose again. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus told the people of his time, John chapter 8 and verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe in me. The word gospel means good news. The good news that God has looked upon us in our sinfulness and prepared for us a way of salvation, a way which was very costly and which he paid for in its entirety. And all we need to do is understand it, believe it, receive it, accept it. Oh, you have a very bad sickness. Here's a medicine, very costly, free of charge. It takes care of it 100%. Overall, that's good news. You might say, well, I don't like the part about me being a sinner. That's a fact. That's a fact. Whether someone says it to you or not, whether I receive it or not, that's true. That is truth. That's the way things really are. It is good news. And what should we do with good news? We should share it with others. Others far and wide. Oh, it's up to a pastor or an evangelist. We just read, we just mentioned Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. The believers were scattered everywhere as a result of the persecution that arose around Stephen, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Men of Cyprus and Cyrene founded the church in Antioch. It doesn't say that it was started by the apostles. Philip went to Samaria. Acts chapter 8. Philip was not one of the apostles. This is Philip. Sometimes people refer to him as Philip the deacon. This is Philip who, along with Stephen and five others, were chosen to assist the apostles in terms of the daily help that was made available to those who were in need. The Samaritan woman went to the men of the town of Sychar, and she said, "Behold, a man who has told me all things which I ever did, is not this the Christ?" And they went out of the city, and they came unto him. And some believed for her word, and some believed when they heard him. Ultimately, they were going to believe based on the message, that was delivered. So the Samaritan woman didn't sit there and say, let me write a speech. The Samaritan woman didn't sit there and say, I have to think about this a very long time regarding what to say and how to say it. Do we need to speak carefully? Yes, we need to speak carefully, but we need to speak. We need to speak. We need to deliver a message. Some people think only after years of study. Not so. This is not the spirit that we see in the Bible. This is not what is according to God's word. We need to deliver the message to those around us. Go ye and teach all nations. It mentions baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After a person is saved, baptism, step of obedience, and identification with the person of Christ, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. People need to know more. They need to grow. They need to understand. But first it says, go and teach all nations. Go and teach all nations. This is the clear biblical command, that they need to hear the message of the gospel. The Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now someone might say, the message of the gospel, don't people know the message of the gospel? Well, I hope people know the message of the gospel, and more people need to know the message of the gospel. Remember that the devil has his counterfeits, that the devil has his deceptions. And let's just read Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and first of all, verses 8. And verses 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, we say so again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's go on, read a couple more verses. For do I now seek the favor of men or of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. There are various perversions of the gospel. And in one way or the other, people try to make use of that which is true, mix in a form of error that is convenient to them, and say, oh, look, it comes from God. So I can tell you that if I sell handkerchiefs, that I can tell you that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to buy a handkerchief from me. And then you will be saved. And one way or the other, not through handkerchiefs, but one way or the other, that's what people do. That is what people do. And Paul the Apostle was telling them, be careful. You have heard people who have preached to you another message, and you need to realize that it's another message. You need to realize that it's a message that comes from men, that it is not the true message, the true gospel, the one which I received from God. I'm not preaching to you this message because it tickles my fancy, because I'm the one who came up with it, because it's the one which I like. I'm preaching to you a message which is true, a message which came from God. Go and teach all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. Let's think of a couple of things related to that. Some people will come along and say, I've heard this statement made, and perhaps you've heard it made. Zaman al-tabshir inta. Zaman al-tabshir walla. What does that mean? It means that the time for preaching is gone. That's old hat. That's ancien regime. That's something that they did in the past, which no longer applies to us. Is there any kind of biblical basis for this statement which I just made? None whatsoever. In fact, it is very much an anti-biblical statement. The Bible does not say that the age of preaching and evangelizing is gone and done. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy also, chapter 4, and reading the first few verses, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Paul the Apostle tells him that there will come a time when people will not have a tendency to what? To listen. And indeed, this is true in every time, but perhaps at some times, maybe more than others. They'll want teachers to scratch their ears in a particular way. Have you ever had an itch in the middle of your back where you can't really reach it? And so you come to someone and say, can you scratch the middle of my back? Oh, yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so, in this day and time, and like I said, in every day and time, to some extent, this has been true, but sometimes more so than others, people want, you know, their own spiritual backs to be scratched in the spot that they like and in the way which they like, in the way which they like. Somehow in Arabic, there's this very expressive phrase, مَا يَطْلُبَهُ الْمُسْتَمِعُونَ, what the listeners request, what people demand. Now, notice what Paul says. He says that when they have this mindset, when the time will come, when they don't endure sound doctrine, when they will look for teachers who will scratch their ears in the way which they like, at that time, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to preach the word. You're supposed to preach the word. You're supposed to do the work of an evangelist. You're supposed to fulfill your ministry. In season and out of season, at every time, there is no exception. There is no such thing as the time of evangelization, the time of preaching and witnessing has ended. There is no limit time-wise. There is no limit with regard to location, with regard to geography. Does the message of the gospel need to be preached here in this city? Of course it does. I think of a statement that the Lord made to Paul the Apostle when he was in Corinth. Acts chapter 18, do not be afraid, but speak. Hold not your peace. No man shall set upon you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city. But was that something exclusively true of the city of Corinth? So that the message should only be preached there and not in other places. The message needs to go to my Jerusalem and to my Judea, the surrounding area, and to my Samaria, which is an adjacent area, and perhaps an area I wouldn't think of going. Hostility, enmity between people of a Jewish background and people of a Samaritan background, and unto the uttermost part of the world. So there's my circle, my relatives, my friends, my family, immediate acquaintances. Then there are people who are farther. And then there are people who are farther, including people who perhaps I wouldn't think naturally of delivering the message to, because somehow, they hate Lebanese people and Lebanese people hate them. And unto the uttermost part of the world. Someone might say, I can't go to the uttermost part of world. I cannot physically carry the message in every direction. I can't go everywhere at the same time. If you have the spirit of taking the message to the uttermost part of the world, then you will take it to as many people as you can. You will take it to as many as you can. And you will pray that the Lord will give you more opportunities. And the Lord is able beyond what we think or understand. Some people say regarding D.L. Moody that one of the things that he did very early in his ministry was to gather children from the streets of Chicago and bring someone, a preacher, to speak to them. He'd bring the children in and he'd arrange for a speaker. And then it's said that one day the speaker, the preacher, didn't come for whatever reason. Got sick, problem along the way, misunderstanding. And so here were these children whom D.L. Moody had gathered from the streets of Chicago, and the speaker wasn't there. So what did he do? He sent them home. No, he didn't send them home. What he did was he spoke to them himself. And when he spoke to them himself, it seems that there was a positive response. And so he continued to preach to children himself. And beyond that, and became a well-known evangelist, preached to crowds and crowds, thousands and thousands, most likely millions and millions of people. Now, what I say to myself is, that's an exception. That couldn't happen with me. The Bible doesn't tell us to think that way. The Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. But he prayed. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Remember how it says in Mark chapter 16 that the Lord Jesus appeared to them and he upbraided them for what? For their unbelief. Because they did not believe those who brought to them the first reports that Jesus had risen. Why is it that we could not cast this evil spirit out? Because of your unbelief. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, what will you do? You'll say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll be plucked up from its roots, and it will be cast into the sea. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Everyone needs to hear the message. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. Those who are of one nationality, those who are of another, those who are of one ethnic background, those who are of another, those who are tall and those who are short, those who are fat, those who are thin, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in God's sight. the message of the gospel. Remember how at a certain time the parents brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember how the disciples rebuked them. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw an expression that is not frequently used of the Lord Jesus, it says that he was much displeased. And that's, I believe, a soft translation. I think a more accurate translation, if I remember correctly, was that he was filled with anger. He was filled with indignation at the fact that his disciples, instead of bringing people to him, were doing what? Were stopping others from bringing people to him. Now, someone might say, well, I'm not actively involved in stopping people from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. How actively involved am I in bringing people to Christ? Is my testimony of my life and the witness of my mouth drawing people to him? Or am I silent? Remember, I believed and therefore I what? And therefore I spoke. The Lord prepared things in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and Peter, the Gentile and the Jew, the message of the Lord to go to the nations very clearly in a way that was very obviously his will. Some men are coming, three men, and they seek you. You are to go with them and you are to doubt nothing. You are to go and bear the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Something that Peter hadn't thought of. Something that Peter hadn't imagined. But the thing is that we are not necessarily the ones who are supposed to put the great plan. We have a great planner. And as far as the will of God is concerned, what we need to do is we need to do it. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And to the Jew I became as a Jew, and to those under the law as under the law, and to those who are not under the law as not under the law, and to the weak I became as weak. And all things to all men, so that I might save some. Every time and every place. Without exception. This is what we understand. A command which we should obey, and let's think of some things related to that in terms of why we should obey it. God has commanded it. God has commanded it. And this should be enough. It is said of Moody, I was speaking of him a short while ago, said of Moody that at one point when he was a young believer, he heard someone say that the world has yet to see what God can do through one man who is completely surrendered to him. And he said in his mind, I want to be that kind of man. Later on in life, he told a friend of his that if I were completely convinced that God wanted me to jump off this balcony, then I would do it without a moment of hesitation. If I were convinced that that was the case. Of course, God doesn't want us to jump off balconies, and the Lord Jesus didn't jump off the top of the temple. But the point is that we need to share the message. Jonah, go to Nineveh. I'm not asking you for your opinion. I am giving you an order. Philip, go to Gaza, the road that leads down to Gaza, which is a desert. And the Lord did not tell him at that point, because the Ethiopian is coming and he has been reading the book of Isaiah and he is searching for the truth and he will believe and he will carry the message to his native land and many there will believe. He didn't tell him any of those things, according to the book of Acts. He told him, go to the road that leads down to Gaza, which is desert. Full stop. And then he went, and then he saw the Ethiopian. And then the spirit told him, go join yourself to that chariot. And he ran. And he saw the man. And he saw, heard him reading Isaiah chapter 53. And the story went on, goes on from there. The Bible says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? The preaching of the word is obedience to the Lord. It is something which delights him. It is something which brings honor to his name. It's something which lifts up and magnifies him. There are people who think that they are glorifying God by engaging in various ceremonies. Unfortunately, they don't know, or maybe some of them know, but one way or the other, those ceremonies are man-made. And they don't glorify God, but people do them because they think somehow or the other that this is what God wants. Making God's message known to others glorifies him, magnifies him. Delivering the message to others is something that pleases him. The Bible speaks of it in a very special way. Epaphroditus, your minister, sent to help me. The service that came with him, your sacrifice, your offering, the money that you sent to assist me, Philippians, is what? It is a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God, well-pleasing to God. God has chosen to work through the means of one reaching another. God has chosen, whatever the world thinks, even if it thinks it's foolishness, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, by the foolishness of preaching, God will save those who believe. God will save those who believe. Oh, there are other ways. And Naaman had his own ideas. And Naaman had his own ideas. And put his hand and shout with a loud voice, call out, and we have better rivers. And just do it the way that God said it should be done. Just do it the way God said it, it should be done. I have a better idea than me witnessing to my neighbor. I should just witness to my neighbor. If God wants the better idea, well, I don't know, maybe he'll inspire a new Bible book or something like that, speak to me in a dream or vision. But actually, I think if he spoke to me in a dream or vision, it'd more likely be something like Galatians chapter 1, a new gospel different from the true one, which we already have in our hands. God's chosen means to deliver the message. We need to preach the word because in doing so there is blessing for our hearts. Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, there is he who scatters and yet increases. There is he who withholds more than is necessary and it tends to poverty. The liberal soul, the generous soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. I should care for the souls of others. This is very clear. And this should also draw me into obedience to God's will in this matter. People need to hear the message. People need to hear the message, otherwise they are on their way to eternal judgment. The Bible is very clear about this. Very clear. And sometimes people say that if God were to let us know just for a moment what hell would be like, maybe that would move our hearts to reach those around us who need to hear the message. What am I saying now? I'm saying it's what people need, it's also what I need. It's also what I need. I need to be delivering the message because in that obedience and in that ministry and in that work, there is blessing from the Lord. There is a blessing from the Lord. When he comes home, the Bible says, he calls together his friends and neighbors. He says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, and there will be joy in heaven over a sinner who repents. The woman who found the coin called together her neighbors. When the prodigal son returned, there was great rejoicing. There was great rejoicing in his heart, and indeed there should have been, and there was great rejoicing in the hearts of others. And when we seek others for the Lord Jesus Christ, there is joy and rejoicing. Paul the Apostle says, what is our hope, what is our joy, what is our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You are our glory and joy. What can I do? I can speak to those around me. I can talk to my friends, family, relatives, neighbors. I can pray for them. I can invite them to church. I can give them tracts. I can share the message of the gospel with them. I can encourage and support any effort by any other believer in this direction, both in this vicinity and in other places. Christ loved the souls of men. He knew their true need. Go and teach all nations. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. The Macedonian man appeared in a vision to Paul by night. And what did he say? Come over and help us. And so they went in the direction of Macedonia with assurance in their hearts that they should preach the gospel to them. You might say, well, I don't know. The Lord hasn't appeared in a vision to me and told me where to go. Where you are right now is good enough. And if the Lord wants you elsewhere, he will reveal even that to you. The Lord is able. Do we follow him in this most important matter? Or do we talk about it, think about it, and do everything about it, around it, but not do it. But not do it. Go and work today in my vineyard. And one son said, oh, yes, sir, I'm going. He didn't go. The other one said, no. But he repented, and he went. May the Lord help us to go. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for all that it sets before us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to know that we are called, each and every one who have received you as Savior, that we are called to bear this message to those around us and to those around them and to those around them in greater and greater circles, even to the uttermost part of the world. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your power. We pray that you would increase our faith. We pray that you would help us to follow you and to be, even as our Lord was, to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.